All right, welcome back. We've gone from one author to another incredible story, and we're going to be now delving into quite an adventure. Got a guest here in person in studio, Max Hardberger, who is with us. He's a sea captain, and the book is Seized, A Sea Captain's Adventures Battling Scoundrels and Pirates While Recovering Stolen Ships in the World's Most Troubled Waters. Max, welcome.
Good morning, sir.
And there we go. We got you. And Max, thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit about your background. You've got a very interesting, we were talking off the air a little bit about some of the things you've done.
Well, I grew up in Thibodaux, Louisiana, so that was the beginning of an interesting life, I can assure you. And from there, I came to UNO, graduated from UNO in English, and in 69, taught for a little while in Mandeville, and went to the University of Iowa to the Writers' Workshop, and then after that, I decided to start traveling around a bit and sort of fell into a number of different jobs.
And you then started going on these adventures that a lot of people just sort of see on the news and dream about. You've lived them. Tell us about a few of these, if you could, Max.
Well, I don't know. I used to deliver airplanes and crop dust, and so I didn't really think of it as adventure. You know, it's just a job. Some people's jobs are more active than others, and there are good things and bad things about being outside. I've done a lot of traveling about and a lot of worked on ships and worked on boats, and I've just generally had a tough life.
Let's talk about some of the people you've encountered along the way. And I'm interested in pirates. Obviously, we've had some issues with Somali pirates. You've had some encounters with modern-day Caribbean pirates. Tell us about it.
Well, the term pirates, of course, can apply to people who steal ships any different way. We normally think of pirates as being armed boarders, people who force their way on board a ship at sea and then take control of it. That kind of pirate is a pretty primitive creature. The more sophisticated pirates, and the ones that I normally deal with, are the ones who can steal ships by corrupt judicial process, bribery of port officials, operating in lawless countries. And I have to say that they're a lot harder to deal with. If I had to deal with the Somali pirates, I'd have a very quick and decisive answer for them. So the ones I have to deal with
are
tougher.
What would that be, firepower?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
As Chairman Mao said, all power comes from the barrel of a gun.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about these ships. So they hire you to go and recover ships that have been stolen, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So you have to deal with some flat-out criminals.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And how difficult is it to recover stolen ships from scoundrels, pirates, criminals, terrorists that are holding these ships?
Well, it's very tough because you're dealing with a corrupt government that is in league with the criminals. So you can't go to the police. The police are the problem. So I have to go into these countries, and I have to operate completely surreptitiously and undercover. I have to bring a crew in, keep the crew from getting identified. I have to get them on board the ship, usually in the middle of the night, and we have to get to international waters before dawn.
Have you ever had any incidents where you've had to engage these people in any kind of gun battle or any kind of physical battle where they've caught you while you've been in the process of trying to recover these ships?
Well, I've been apprehended in the sense that people have come across me while I'm working. Luckily, I've always been able to trick or fool or lie my way out of the situation, so I've never been imprisoned. But there's always somebody who's opposing me. Obviously, you have a $5 or $10 million ship that's an asset at stake, and they're not going to let me come in and get it easily.
What countries have been the most difficult to, operate in?
Well, generally, the more dictatorial the country, the harder it is to operate. Venezuela is probably the worst because it's a tightly structured government. It's very close to being a dictatorship in the classic sense. I like to operate in lawless countries like Haiti or Dominican Republic because
nobody tells you anything, huh?
Yeah, right. The government is so powerless anyway that you can operate more freely.
What about like Cuba? Have you ever had any dealings there?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, but I would assume similar to Venezuela, where you have a strong state control.
Yes, if I took a job in Cuba, I would have to consider it long and hard, and it would obviously be very well paying.
Max Harberger is with us. The book is Seized, A Sea Captain's Adventures, Battling Scoundrels and Pirates While Recovering Stolen Ships in the World's Most Troubled Waters. Your associate is here, my friend Michael Bono, and you guys are working on some projects. Maybe there's a motion picture inspired by this?
Yes. Tony Eldridge with Lone Tree Entertainment and Joni Levin and Keith Clark with Point Blank Productions are working together on a movie they're calling The Good Pirate. And it's a couple of years out, but Joni and Keith just got through working on The Way Back with Colin Farrell and Ed Harris, directed by Peter Weir. And that's coming out this summer, and the word is it's going to be a big hit.
You don't have an eye patch or anything, huh?
I took it off for this interview.
Max Harberger joining us here, and you're also going to be doing a book signing. So it's going to be tonight at Octavia Books, 513 Octavia, between 6 and 7:30. This is sort of probably new to you, right? I mean, you've never written a book before, have you?
Yeah, I've written a couple of books before, but this is by far the most widely disseminated and publicized.
So you've done the book signing deal and the publicity deal. Is this sort of old hat for you?
Very little before this book.
Okay.
So this book marks really the most of it, yes.
Where are you encouraging people to get the book? On your website, or does it matter?
Oh, they can go to maxharberger.com. They can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or any bookstore should be able to get it for them.
Max, when you're not on the high seas, you're living back here in the Slidell area, right?
Yeah, I live on a sailboat in a marina in Slidell.
Is that sort of difficult to transition back to quiet life on a sailboat when you're doing all these adventures on the high seas?
Well, it makes a good, shall we say, interregnum. I generally don't get a whole lot of rest in between jobs, but I'm happy when I do.
Do you have another job scheduled?
I have a couple of jobs that we are working on. Of course, you never know that you're going to pull the trigger to the last moment.
Give me an example of, like, let's say if some of these do come to fruition. Give us an example of how it works.
Well,
Without divulging sensitive confidential information.
No, of course. Well, for example, I have one possibility that may well come to fruition, which is a ship that was seized off the coast of an unnamed country by a local charterer who was taking advantage of a Far East owner who had no idea what was going on with the ship. The owner has contacted us. I've done some surveillance. It's a very tough situation. I've made a bid that was, I think, very high, and there's a good chance they'll just abandon the vessel rather than pay me what I need to get. But the ship's in a bad situation. It'll be very tough. I'll have to sneak a fairly large crew into the port, so I don't know if that was going to go through.
So, you're obviously worried while you're doing this about getting apprehended yourself, because you're technically, I guess, in violation of local laws, right?
Technically in every other way.
So, you said you had to put a crew together. Let's say if this job does come to fruition, and you are paid. Obviously, your estimate's fairly high, so you'll make some good money off of it, right?
I would hope.
And you would hope for putting your life on the line and doing something dangerous like that. What kind of crew do you need, and where do you find people willing to undertake that kind of a risk?
Well, these are men I've worked with before. I look for professional seamen. I get a lot of applications from military types and so on who would like to work for me, and there's nothing wrong with that. But my problem is that I need men who can go on board a ship in the middle of the night, go directly about their jobs. They don't need any supervision or instructions from me, and it's quite tough. A chief engineer who has to sneak into the engine room, find his way around by feel, determine we have enough air, lube oil, et cetera, and then to start the engine without anybody knowing that we're doing it is a pretty challenging job. And so I only use men who are reliable men. I've worked with them before, and they're professional seamen.
So you've got your old reliable crew that you've dealt with years and years in trust.
That's correct.
So you say you get applications. What are you, like, putting an ad on Craigslist or something looking for?
Oh, no, I don't put out any requests. I just have people who hear about me and email me their resumes.
Like, we might have listeners today say, hey, I can do that kind of work. I want to join Max's team. What if they out there are interested?
Well, I don't use many Americans because we don't operate in America at all. So most of my, all of my men are foreigners. But I'm open to any application. Go to my website, send me your resume. It's better if you have sea experience and a license. And if we're interested, we'll let you know.
And the pay is obviously pretty good.
Well, you don't work very long, but for the time you work, yes, you do get paid.
So. So you do, I mean, it's just project by project, right? So you could do a project with you, go in and take back a stolen ship, and then be sort of unemployed for, could be, 6 months at a time?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Happily unemployed.
When was your last project?
Well, I just came back from England. We repossessed a biz jet over in Wales, actually, north of England, and... that was the last one. That was a rather pleasant assignment compared to some of the places I've been.
So you're sort of like a bounty hunter in some respects. Sort of like Dog, what's his name? Dog Chapman? Or I can see a Discovery series maybe based on you.
Well, I think there are a lot of differences between me and Dog. We both have our respective areas of expertise.
Right.
I think that as far as what I do, I'm probably the only guy who does it. And
nobody else in the world does this?
Not for ships. There are people, good people, who do it for yachts and aircraft. I don't know anybody else who does it for commercial freighters.
And you you don't do it just for ships. You do it for aircraft, too, obviously. Didn't you say you just took back a jet?
Right. I will. I'm a licensed pilot, and I have friends who are rated in these types of aircraft. But I concentrate in ships.
Okay. Hang on, Max. We'll come back and visit some more. Special guest Max Hardberger joining us. The book is Seized, A Sea Captain's Adventures, Battling Scoundrels and Pirates While Recovering Stolen Ships in the World's Most Troubled Waters. There's going to be a feature-length motion picture inspired by Seized and Max Hardberger's ship recovery adventures currently being developed, Lone Tree Entertainment, and the movie's going to be titled The Good Pirate. Max is going to be tonight over at Octavia Books at 513 Octavia. That's going to be from 6 to 7:30, and you can get his book at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and MaxHardberger.com. Quick time out. More Ringside coming your way. All right, welcome back. We're going to do an open line segment a little bit later on, give away some tickets, Jazz Fest, Politics with a Punch. Right now, though, another segment with our special guest, Max Hardberger, and the book is Seized, A Sea Captain's Adventures, Battling Scoundrels and Pirates, Recovering Stolen Ships in the World's Most Troubled Waters. And Max, what you say here is, what I do is so uncommon, I'm probably the only person in the world who does this. And that's just amazing. And how long have you been the only person in the world to do this kind of work?
Well, I don't know. I kind of backed into it as sort of a avocation rather than a vocation, and so I'm not so sure about that. I've been doing it off and on for almost 20 years.
Now, we were talking off the air about some of your particularly interesting adventures. I know you got lots of them, but tell us about the time you were chased by a warship.
That was actually when I was a ship captain, and my vessel was in Rio Haina, Dominican Republic, and we were carrying waste paper, and a ship is not responsible for deck cargo. We lost a bunch of the waste paper on deck. I had to chop the lashings and throw it overboard, or we would have turned over at sea. But when we got to the discharge port in Rio Haina, the ship got seized for the missing bales of waste paper. And, of course, that's obviously a completely BS sort of seizure. But we were facing, I and the crew were facing being put off and maybe being put in jail. And so I decided that I wasn't going to let them have my ship. Unfortunately, I knew that not only was the ship right next to the port office, within spitting distance of the port office, but I knew there was a Navy base only 50 miles away in Santo Domingo, so it was pretty challenging. But I managed to, I hired a local girl to come on board and convince the guard to get off. And then I waited till a big thunderstorm came along, because I knew that old radars don't see well through rain.
Right.
And I knew that any Dominican warship was going to have an old radar, and probably even the warship itself might have been built in the 40s or so. So I just took a gamble, and as soon as the rain hit the port, I cut the dock lines with axes and turned around in the river, which was pretty hairy. It's a narrow river, and then I took off for open water, and they chased me.
How long did they chase you?
Oh, about an hour. that they never found me in the rain clutter. And I couldn't see them either because my radar was also full of rain clutter. So they did call me a couple of times, plaintively asking me where I was, which I, of course, prudently ignored. And then by the time the rain went away, I was in international water and I was free.
You have to thank, I guess, this young lady you hired, huh, as the distraction, right?
Well, she was well paid.
Yeah, okay. You seem to pay all your people very well, huh, Max?
That's the only way to gain loyalty in this business.
And one more quick thing, and then we'll squeeze in a call or two here for you. Tell us about your adventures involved in the Haiti Civil War.
Well, I've been in Haiti a lot of times during different civil wars over the last 20 years. I live in Haiti. I have some property down there. And unfortunately, civil war is pretty much a normal state of affairs down there. And there are some good and bad things about that. But in 2004, we were hired to extract a pretty large ship, a 10,000-tonner, from a little port in Haiti. In fact, my little port of Miragouane. And the problem was that the rebels had let everybody out of all the jails. Even the national penitentiary was empty. And the roads were full of bandits. Nobody was traveling on the road. Nobody would travel at night at all. So it was pretty hairy. I had my opposition had guards on board the ship. I had everybody in the town watching that ship to see what was going on with it, and for me to. And also the machinery was completely dead, so I had to bring a tugboat in and tow it out. So that was a pretty hairy moment.
Now, of course, you said you had property down in Haiti. Obviously, the earthquake down there—it's been devastating. You've been in touch with people down there?
Yes, I'm happy to say that all of my acquaintances survived. Mm.
So you're going to be going, Michael was telling me, in a few weeks, right?
On the 26th.
Yeah, so that'll be probably quite an experience to go back there for the first time since that horrific earthquake.
Yes, it's bad. All I can say is it's bad.
All right, let's squeeze in a call or two here before the end of the segment. James in Metairie, you're on with Max Hardberger. Hey,
yeah,
James.
Hey, Jeff, thanks, and pretty interesting things the guest is saying here. What percentage, you've told us about all your success stories, what percentage of your total attempts, I'm just wondering, are successful, where you achieve your goal? I got a couple of other questions.
All right, hang on.
Well, I'm happy to report that when I pull the trigger, which is when I actually bring my crew on board the vessel, which is the point of no return, of course, I've always been successful. I've had a lot of jobs where I went down, didn't like the situation, couldn't figure out how we were going to do it, and then just turned the job down. But every time I pulled the trigger, so far I've been successful.
So you've assessed the situation and said, okay, this is doable, let's go for it. I just got a question about stolen ships. What can a pirate do with a stolen ship? Do you resell it? Are they torn down for scrap, for parts? And another thing, if I'm in the pirate community, and I know there's a guy like you running around the globe, I'm going to try to disable this vessel by removing a critical component that, even the world's greatest engineer can't work around. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I had a guy who thought he was going to defeat me or somebody like me by removing the air start valve, which, of course, can't be constructed. But what I did was I had the owner fly a replacement air start valve from Germany to Venezuela. And then my men brought that air start valve on board, and we replaced it in the middle of the night.
Okay, to do all these great things, you've got to have a lot of access to this vessel. I mean, I know you're talking about having a young lady trying to lure a guy to guard off the ship, but I mean, you'd have to have hours and days to do this. How is that possible?
All right, good question.
Well, actually, on that particular job, we didn't do that till we had the ship out of port. We drifted along in international water for about an hour, I guess it took to get that done.
You diagnosed the problem, right?
Well, I had done that before. When I first went on board the ship, I pretended to be a buyer, and the guy who had seized the ship didn't know that I was actually reconnoitering the vessel.
Max, sounds like you have some great adventures, and I think this is going to be a big hit for you. So congratulations on the book, everything you're doing. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and look forward to a big book signing for you, and that's going to be tonight over at Octavia Books from 6 to 7:30, Max Hardberger. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, quick timeout, more Ringside coming your way. Jeff Cruer here at WGSO 990 AM. All right, I want to thank Max Hartberger for joining us and his associate, Michael Bono. Interesting, very, very interesting. And that's going to be, I think, a big hit, not only a book, but also a movie.